This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sabotage Chiefs training camp today. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, live from Chiefs training camp, brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, Metro PCS, and Kansas Sampler and Rally House. Rudy Salazar is up here with me today. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. My name is Brad Porter, and about 10 minutes ago, the range just opened up here in St. Joe. Now, if you're on your way, the Chiefs do stay on the field unless there is lightning. So the players are still on the field, even though it's raining. And some folks brought their umbrellas and raincoats and ponchos, and they're in good shape. Other people who did not are soaking wet right now and taking cover. In fact, our 810 tent, I said that right. I know Saren messed that up one time, and they use it on the Border Patrol on Friday morning at 945. The tent, we have some new friends who have joined us here because there's some extra space.
It looks like it did when Patrick Mahomes was here, but... No Mahomes.
Right. Well, we just watched a full 11-on-11 offense versus defense. Patrick Mahomes threw a couple of ducks and a couple of good passes and a couple swing passes. They got him out in space. They kept him in the pocket. Kind of a little bit of everything. And the Chiefs are in full pads again today, the second day in a row. So they're doing – it's kind of what I call they're popping each other, but it's not tackle to the ground kind of stuff. But it's a good day for these guys to get physical and – you know, temperatures are in the mid-60s, so it's not too hot today. This is a good work day. You got some rain. It's a little cooler. This is regular season-type conditions. You might get a little rain. You never know.
No, it's it's coming down pretty good out here. Like, this is...
Yeah, no, it's pouring.
Yeah, like, this is... you have to get used to it at some point.
Right.
And especially... Midwest weather, we know at some point there's going to be a day where you're not, again, like with today, where we think it's not going to rain, we're going to get the game in, no issue. And then right when the game starts, it's just going to come pouring down. So, like, getting used to that adjustment, too. It's probably not a huge adjustment, but for, like, some players, they probably never dealt with it before, so.
Right. Well, again, if you're on your way up to St. Joe and you're driving through that rain, don't worry. The players are still on the field. They will only move if there's lightning. So players are still on the field in St. Joe. If you're making your way up here, some of the fans are taking cover, got their umbrellas and ponchos and all that stuff. And Jed Marshall, make sure you're on Red Alert 5. If we get lightning, Rudy and I'll have to pull the parachute pretty quick.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad that we went with that plan of you guys going out to training camp and, you know, setting up there at the field as opposed to inside and swimmingly.
It worked out so perfect. Like, right when I get here, I see reports of rain's going to stop until noon. Like, okay, we can set up. We can get in. Then I get out here, and it starts raining almost immediately. And it's like, great.
Well, fortunately, we have the big tent set up. So no issues with that. The only thing we'll have an issue with is if we get that lightning.
We'll be fine. We have plenty of sound that we'll get to one way or another. So, yeah, we should be in good shape.
I was going to start off. I had a good day yesterday up here at Chiefs training camp because it all unfolded. It all worked out perfect for me, Jed, which is the most important thing. It's got to work out for BP, right?
No, so, that's not how I operate at all, Brad. You know that.
So Chiefs training camp in the morning, 8:15 to noon. Great day. It was awesome. I had not been out here. I did not get to come last season due to my former employer basically laying off half the staff. So that didn't happen last year. So it was good to get back into the flow. Get back around the people I hadn't seen in a while, seeing Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News, Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest, one of our frequent guests, and so many good people. And then after the show yesterday, go back to the hotel, Stony Creek Inn, by the way. If you are coming up here and you need a place to stay, Stony Creek Inn is awesome. So go to Stony Creek Inn, and I've forgotten that because of the rain out Friday night, the Royals were playing a doubleheader, flipped on the tube, saw the Royals kick the Yankees in the rear end for the first game anyway, 10-5. It was a little nerve-wracking here and there. So Royals game one is over, and it's a day night, so there's like 3 or 4 hours in between. So I take my boys who are up here with me down to the pool at Stony Creek Inn, and who's down there but Mitch Holtis and a lot of his family were there. So I ran into Mitch, got a chance to say hi to him, talk to him for a minute. go back to the room, turn on a little soccer, Liverpool, Manchester United at the big house in Michigan, 100,000 people, and Liverpool kicks Manchester United in the rear end. So that works out for me. Then we go back to the pool, and then the Royals lose game two of the doubleheader. Only thing that didn't work out is the Royals losing game two of the doubleheader. They had a chance, then they blew it, then they had another chance and couldn't quite close the deal. So not a bad day, Jed. Not a bad day up here in St. Joe.
I went to Jazz. I can't complain.
Hey, there you go. Set up the show for you today. We're going to have Chief Sound here in just a couple of minutes, reaction from training camp. And then at 10 o'clock, Matt Verderam from FanSided is going to join us, get his thoughts on the Chiefs and some of the analysis he's been doing over the last couple of weeks. And then at 11 o'clock, it's Dave Borchert, who hosts the Final Whistle on Sports Radio 810 WHB after every Sporting KC game. And I'm going to go ahead and say it's time to push the panic button on Sporting KC. I've been holding off for two or three weeks now, thinking, you know, I've been saying all the things that we all believe. Peter Vermes will figure it out. They'll get it straightened out. They've got veterans. They've got young guys. They're still a good team. But last night's game, you get behind the eight ball early on against FC Dallas, the first-place team in the West, and Sporting came in as the third-place team in the West. Get one back, give another one up. Give another one up, fall further behind. Get one back in like the 97th minute, lose 3-2. And we're on a run of, what, five games without a win? And this is a crucial point in the season. And I'm going to go ahead and say, if you want to push the panic button, go ahead. It might be time to do that. There are injuries that have been mounting throughout the season. They did get back Matt Beisler and Ike Parr last night, the two most important defenders, but still gave up three goals. And Peter Vermes said after the game, those were soft goals we gave up. Those were easy goals we gave up. And Peter Vermes is never one to compliment an opposing player if they really outwork his side and they score a fantastic goal. He'll say, well done on their part. But he said these were easy goals, all three of them. And that is not a good sign because now it keeps happening. And after their last loss, Peter Vermes called out some of his players for not trying, for not playing hard enough, putting them on notice that they may no longer be with the team. And they've already made a roster. They've already flat cut a guy. They did that last week. So if you're in that vein of thinking that it's panic time, you're well within your rights to do that. And Jed, I know you're a soccer fan. Rudy, you're a soccer fan. And I'll get your thoughts. Jed, first, are you pushing the panic button on Sporting KC right now?
I don't know if I'm necessarily pushing the panic button, but I certainly had the same thoughts as you. We've talked in the past about Peter Vermes being one of the best motivators and also a very honest coach. When a guy like that is calling the goals that are scored against his or against his team soft, it's a little bit like Bill Self, who I kind of equate Peter Vermes to, just in his use of the media to send messages and also in his honest approach and his honesty with the media. Saying that it's soft is a way to motivate, but it's also a way of looking at your team and truly appreciating. And once Sporting got down 1-0 last night, I was just sitting there thinking that Dallas was going to sit back and bunker and wait for the counterattacks. Fortunately, Sporting was able to get an equalizer, but it proved all for naught because they continue to just be in such poor form. And Peter Vermes is and Sporting have been such good teams traditionally defensively. That's what's starting to scare me.
And Rudy, what your thoughts after that loss last night?
Yeah, this defense, it's nowhere near what we're used to. We've seen this though now every year, every summer for a while now. Sporting going through these lulls, and last night was the first time I think I've ever watched Matt Beisler and Ike Parr and thought, these guys are actually starting to look a little old and a little slow. And now I'm not going to – here's the thing. Like, Ike Parr, Matt Beisler, I'll never count them out until it's been a long stretch. My guess is that both of them rebound and have a much better game the next time out. But in terms of winning this Western Conference, I mean, it's
that's
not,
kind
of,
that
it's
might not, be out the door.
That ship has sailed.
Technically
is it
over,
13
but
points
you're,
now?
You're 9 points back.
9 points. Okay.
Of FC Dallas. Now, the good news is LAFC in second that you obviously that was the goal for Sporting. Let's not play in the knockout stage. You're only 3 points behind LAFC. You've still got the chance to miss the knockout round stage. But you got to change things fast. Now, fortunately, too, they have the money. I think they can go out and add both. Like Taylor Twelman was talking last night about, do they add a striker? Now do they add a defender? I think they have the assets to go at both. to help out the defense and maybe still get that number nine to help out the offense. Because right now, both aren't looking good.
But the problem with that, even though, is we're talking about a team that a month ago was in contention for the Supporter Shield, and now we're talking about a team that is going, if things continue to trend this way, going on the road. And we've seen in the past just how that works. It doesn't work out beneficially for Sporting. I know in the past they've also had U.S. Open Cup being one of those things that people have looked at, and it's just another competition. And they've, I guess, at least fortunately, been eliminated this year and been able to focus on the MLS, you know, Supporter Shield. I think that's obviously gone. The Western Conference winning it, I think, is gone. But at least trying to focus in on getting a home game. And the fact that they're not doing that, that's what I find most troubling. I still think that there's time to turn it around. But it's like I said before, the trend of form that Sporting continues to be in is baffling.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If you're at the point where you want to push the panic button, I'm good with that. I never really want to get there with a Peter Vermes coach team, but it's not good. The good thing that came out of last night's game was Gianluca Busio got into the match. He's 16 years old. Now, this happens in
I thought he looked really good.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't a long play, but I thought he looked better in the midfield than a lot of the players did.
He's been in the Sporting KC system for 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah.
I mean, a while. So, 16-year-old kid steps on a field with MLS veterans. That's pretty, well, it's called ballsy. It's pretty ballsy. And I thought he showed well. So, that's a good sign. You got a 16-year-old kid. And, you know, Sporting has played 17- and 18-year-olds this year as well, which happens a lot more in Europe. But Peter Vermes is able to embrace the young players and give them a chance to show and prove that they deserve another chance. Because I heard Peter Vermes on, I think, with Seren this week saying, okay, you got to give a guy a chance, then you got to earn your next one, then you got to earn your next one, then you got to earn your next one. It's not just something he's going to give out routinely. So we're going to talk about that with Dave Borchert coming up at 11 o'clock. Getting back to Chiefs training camp, and the rain has lightened up a little bit here in St. Joe, so more of the fans are coming back out to their spots, and the team is still going through drills. We're watching full 11 on 11 in full pads right now coming our direction from our broadcast location. We'll keep an eye on that. They get Matt McGloin is at quarterback right now, and I'll just give you an update if we see something else, like maybe a Pat Mahomes come back. And now Chase Litton is going to get his chance. And Litton's a guy I'm fascinated. Maybe fascinated is the wrong word. That's too much of a word. I'm very interested to see how he performs in this training camp and in the exhibition games, because by all accounts and people who have covered Marshall football or that league in particular rave about his arm. Now, this happens every year, right, with a potential third- or fourth-string quarterback. Tyler Bray, he's got a cannon for an arm. Wait till you see this guy again launch it 75 yards down the field. But Tyler Bray couldn't run the playbook, okay? It's not a indictment. It's just a fact. He could not operate with the playbook. Chase Litton, by all accounts, cannon for an arm, intelligent guy, but this is a different level, and we'll see if he can make it work. And I'm just wondering if he can unseat one of those guys in front of him, either Matt McGloin or Chad Henne, or if they get him onto the practice squad, or they do the what they used to do with Tyler Bray, the mysterious injury.
That's what I think happens.
The injury.
I think he mysteriously sprains an ankle, and it takes a year
right.
to get better.
He goes on injured reserve or whatever the designation is for rookies.
I'd be fine with it taking 1 year for him. It took five for someone else.
For Tyler Bray, yeah. And he still never was able to get into the lineup. One, there were no serious injuries to Alex Smith other than, you know, what, one or two? And he just didn't prove enough. That's why they had to go get, you know, a Chase Daniel, because they just didn't trust Tyler Bray. So I'll be curious to see how Chase Litton develops and how he handles himself with NFL players. And McGloin is back taking snaps now. So Mahomes doesn't look like he's running this series. In fact, I'm trying to keep an eye on two fields at the same time, and I believe he's on the opposite field. Rudy Salazar got to point it out. He's on the opposite field doing just solo work with a couple of they're doing receivers and tight ends one-on-one with defensive backs and linebackers. So
yeah, both him and Chet Henning are on that field. Okay. We have Lynn and McGloin on ours.
And you said Travis Kelce was hand fighting with one of the linebackers. And there are NFL referees here today as well to help instruct the players on some of the things that they're going to be looking at this year, some of the things that they may notice. I know they had a presentation here yesterday at St. Joe on the new NFL rules, including the leading with your head rules. And this caused a bit of a controversy with the Chicago Bears because one of their drafted players is still not signed. And the story out, at least from the behind-the-scenes people, is that the Bears are hesitant to sign him to that contract unless they get a clause in there that protects the Bears from paying him his full salary if he gets flagged for illegal use of the helmet or targeting and gets suspended for a lengthy period of time. Because this is going to be the first year they're going to really be looking at this leading with the head, which, man, if you've been playing football your whole life, sometimes you're inclined, your head just drops. Maybe you're anticipating contact if you're a ball carrier or a receiver, and you lower a helmet because you're anticipating contact, not necessarily to cause contact, and we're going to see how the referees deal with that. They've also changed the catch rule this year because of all the... Well, you can't say there were horrendous calls in the past. It was just the rule was stupid before. They catch and turn and foot down and control the ball all the way to the ground, which is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So they've had referees up here both on the field and giving the media some lessons about how to interpret the new rules. So kind of trying to take care of a little bit of everything. By the way, this is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're live in St. Joe at Training Camp. Our sponsors, Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Center, Metro PCS, Kansas Sampler, and Rally House. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. My name is Brad Porter. Let's get to some Chiefs reaction from yesterday. The first day in full pads for the Kansas City Chiefs here in St. Joe. And let's get the thoughts, and this is an important guy, Eric Berry, coming back from a serious injury and how he bounces back and how he reacts to full contact. Here is Chief Safety Eric Berry.
I feel pretty good. Excited to get out there and be around the team.
Is there benchmarks for you in terms of just letting you know where you're at and
Really, we've just been communicating and say we close the region. We just close the region in the train. And we've just been pretty upfront about everything. And, we don't want to take any steps back. So, we've just been progressing.
For you, is there anything in your mind that you sort of have a question about, need to sort of be able to do, see out there, so you know it's good to go?
Not really. I think I got enough experience and, in the film room and on the field to just pull from that, you know, just being prepared to be ready for the week one.
Do you feel that this is just the first of many practices and pads? What do you see from your teammates in the second division?
Chemistry. That's the biggest thing. And everybody wants to win back there. So we want to win, we want to make plays, and we want to be the best we can be. So we also compete back there, too. So I think that's going to drive us to be better and better.
You're doing a lot of teaching this year because, you know, for years, you know, you had Marcus, John Smith before he left, and, you know, Ron has been next to you for a good part of your career. Do you notice you're doing more teaching this year? Telling guys what to do and where to be?
Possibly. I think that just comes with the experience, too, because I've always been pretty involved back there, but now I just know a little bit more because I've been in the system for a while now. I think it's been six years now, and just being able to help the guys out there in the system can be.
Eric, what training camp for you at this stage of your career? Is it more mental? Is it more physical? What are you trying to get accomplished?
It's more mental. Just understanding what I need to work on and making sure I get the good looks. And just also staying patient because I tend to want to get out there and make plays and stuff like that. But I understand that it is a long season and just make sure I take my time.
You've had to come down from a major injury and illness twice before this last one. Does it get harder? Does it want to get older? Is that process?
I mean, I just kind of look at it the same way. I just look at it as a challenge, and I just attack it. And, you know, I had a talk with my dad before I left. He just, you know, told me not to get discouraged, which I wasn't, but he just wanted to make sure I wasn't getting discouraged and make sure I just kept putting in work any way that I could. It didn't always have to be physical, but also understand that you can get better mentally as well. So just having that talk with him
helped me out throughout this period.
Is that where it gets more difficult, the mental part of it, the grind?
Not the mental part. I think it's understanding that I don't have to do as much physical stuff, you know what I'm saying, as far as just tearing my body down and keep trying to push myself to the limit. I mean, I'm to the point where I'm going to be in shape. I know I can get in shape. I know I'm going to be ready physically to play. It's just understanding that and trusting that process so I won't overdo it.
Do you ever wonder how many comebacks you have in like this? Understanding the cancer was the big one, obviously.
I just keep on trucking, man. You know, I don't know what life going to throw at me, you know. And it's just period. You know, you never know what's going to come your way. And however it comes to you or whatever it is, you just roll with the punches and keep pressing forward.
You've lost three full seasons, basically, to your illness now. Mm-hmm. You ever wonder what you would have accomplished had you been able to play those three?
Sometimes, yeah, because, you know, I got hurt my second year. I felt like I was probably in the best shape of my life. And I was starting to learn that defense and becoming very acclimated what was going on around me. Started learning the defense, learning about NFL football. And then I had the injury, and then that the cancer bit, had that injury when I felt like I was getting to my peak where I needed to be. And same thing with last year. But you really can't wonder where you would be. There's no telling, because I learned so much throughout all three of those processes, including this one, all three processes. And I just keep growing, and I can't really tell you where I'd be without them.
So you don't feel cheated, right?
No, not at all, because I learned so much. The whole cancer bit was actually a privilege, to be honest with you. It was a blessing at the same time, because I learned so much. I, you know, helped so many people, and so many people helped me as well. They inspired me, you know, just being able to connect with them through that common thread of having cancer and being able to overcome it. So, I mean, I can't really tell you where I would be without those situations either.
You said
specifically last year, those were the best of the three teams where you missed the season. What do you feel like you guys might have accomplished if you didn't have those playoffs?
I'm not sure. It definitely would have been a good one. I know that. But right now, I'm just locked into, you know, making the most out of my opportunities and creating some as well right now. So as long as we just keep moving forward and I just stay locked in and stay focused, which I'm going to do, sky's the limit.
You said your dad had a talk with you to not be discouraged. Has he had those talks with you during the last couple injuries? Is that a common thing?
All my life, really. Just all my life, you know what I'm saying? Because I just... Sometimes I might tend to overthink things at times, and instead of just doing it, and he's always been the person to ground me and keep me humble and also put things in perspective for me, you know, because sometimes we get caught up in our head a little bit too much, but he's always been there to be like, look, you still, just take care of business and you'll be fine.
Does he tell you stories related to Bible verses? What's his way to kind of ground you?
Man, my dad, he's a different cat. I mean, he's very wise. I mean, we could be watching Lord of the Rings, we could be watching any type of movie, and he'll... you know, connected to life or any type of way you feel like you can teach me something or teach anybody something. That's how he develops and, you know, gets his point across. So I love him to death, you know.
Eric, you're looked at as the defensive leader of the team. When you see all defensive draft, you have five new guys coming in that are supposed to finish with you. How do you set that tone and sort of get them along and say this is what it means to be a chief in my room, really?
It's really on film. The film speaks for itself. They see the type of DNA we have. They know about getting to the ball, playing selflessly, and just playing for one another. And they see it on film every day through the past seasons, and they see it in practice. So we just echo that out. It's not just me. It's everybody that echoes that. So.
What do you think your return does for Danny Sorensen and Eric Murray, just your presence in the room?
I'm not sure. Hopefully it makes their job easier. And, you know, I just want to be out there and be able to help the team. So.
Couple more guys.
Eric, when you went through being an additional coach last year, you sort of referenced this past summer how much that can maybe help you from a mental standpoint for this, being better prepared. Where did you feel like you learned most from being an additional assistant coach, where you can translate that to the more mental aspect of what you're going to try to do this season?
I guess it kind of helped me bridge the gap between having just solely player eyes. And then where I can also see it from a coach's perspective, where it might be a certain technique or a certain play that they want to get accomplished, but it's a little bit of gray area in between, so I can kind of see it from the coach's perspective and the player's perspective, and, you know, just kind of get a little more specific to where we can meet on common ground, and just kind of, you know, bridge the gap a little bit.
Eric, Dustin Culpepper talked yesterday, and he said, you know, when you get to be a certain age, you've been around a long time, you begin to realize the window is closing on opportunity. Do you ever feel that way? I mean, you saw DJ leave. You see some of your buddies leave over the years.
It's been like that. You know, it's just, even when I came in, Brian Waters was here. You know what I'm saying? And that's who I remember. And he's had those talks with me at a young age. Brandon Flowers, he talked to me about it all the time. He's just like, wait till your third year, you're going to start feeling a little these aches and pains and stuff. He told me that my rookie year. And a lot of those guys just kind of prepared me for it and just said, you know, just take advantage of your opportunity. So I'm going to just keep on pressing, like I said, and just keep on moving forward.
Last one, Matt. I mean, with the age and the injuries and everything, how much do you find that you have to rely more and more on your experience and the things you've seen and less on your physical abilities?
It's pretty much what you said. You do have to rely on your mental preparation, because you can't overdo it physically. So you got to make sure you prepare mentally, because you only get a few opportunities on the field to be like, okay, this is the situation, this is the down and distance, let's see where we can make the play or make sure we are perfect on this play and make sure we get it done, because you're only going to get so many reps on the field when you get a game-like situation. But at the same time, you know how to prepare for those situations in the film room or in walkthroughs and stuff like that so that you are prepared.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, that's Chiefs All-Pro safety and Pro Bowl safety Eric Berry after the injury last year that knocked him out for virtually the whole season. Coming back this year and what he expects from himself. So good stuff, and good to see Eric Berry. In fact, the Chiefs are running full 11-on-11 right in front of me and Rudy Salazar. And it's number ones versus number ones. This is a great workout they're going through right now. We'll get you updated on the things that we've seen. The rain is still coming down in St. Joe, but the team is on the field. As long as there's no lightning, the team will stay on the field. On that note, we'll take a quick timeout. This is Sports Sunday. We're live at Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, Metro PCS, Kansas Sampler, and Rally House. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Rudy Salazar is here in St. Joe. My name is Brad Porter. We'll be back right after this quick timeout on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Not turn on a radio and not hear this song. Man alive. Jed Marshall, good choice today. Jed Marshall's back at our Rally House Studios.
Thank you. I like that jam.
Yeah, you played another one from those guys a few weeks ago that I really liked. That I had not heard before, or maybe hadn't heard in a long time. But good band. Good, solid band.
Very good. Underrated.
We are live at Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, Metro PCS, Kansas Sampler, and Rally House. Jed Marshall's in our Rally House studios. My name is Brad Porter. I'm out in St. Joe. Rudy Salazar is out here with me. And we just watched a full 11-on-11, number one offense versus number one defense. And I guess the two things that stood out through that drill, and these guys are in full pads again today, the two things that stood out about it is Travis Kelce still never drops a football. I mean, for crying out loud, he had a bobble and a tip and a grab and a down to the ground, and he holds on to it every time. And Patrick Mahomes is just working down the middle with Travis Kelce and tearing the defense apart. But defense rallies. They knock down a couple of passes. And the drill for one-on-one, the ones versus ones, ended with Steven Nelson getting a big interception. Rudy, was that ball tipped? We think it was tipped by somebody else?
Yeah, he threw it to Conley. It looked like Fuller got his hands in there, okay, and knocked it up in the air, hit Hitchens in the hands, popped back up, and then right into Steven Nelson's lap.
And Kendall Fuller looks really good.
Yeah, he broke up a couple passes.
Well,
on that series.
Let me ask you guys a question, because obviously, sure, I can't see, but I am nice and dry back here in the Rally House studios. Is it too early to panic about the offensive struggles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But on the positive side,
yes,
how much of a wrecking crew defense is this Kansas City Chiefs unit?
Oh, absolute balling out. It's going to be number one in the NFL. That's why they're going to win the Super Bowl.
With so, Daniel Sorensen as your starting inside linebacker.
Yeah, that was the other thing.
Sorensen took every snap at inside linebacker.
And the irony is that Patrick Mahomes will just need to be a game manager.
Yes. Just a game manager.
Yep, that's why
don't
we drafted him.
Throw the ball down the field.
The tough thing,
Take the check down.
Running backs.
The tough thing about the workout today, obviously, is it's pouring rain again here in St. Joe, but the players are still on the field. Again, the only reason they'll get off the field is if there's lightning in the area, and right now there is not. And we're hearing the rains are supposed to clear out here in a little bit, hopefully. But you have the wet footballs and Patrick Mahomes on the out routes or the passes into the flat, struggled with that during this drill. You can chalk it up to wet footballs or just early in camp, but still was able to find the seams down the middle and on the edges. But what was the other? There was one other thing we were talking about during the commercial break, Rudy, about players Daniel Sorensen playing inside linebacker, which stood out. Fuller's been playing that inside corner,
yeah,
slot
Nelson's
corner.
Starting on the outside.
Steven Nelson's on the outside.
They had Justin Houston pretty much solely on the right,
yes.
D Ford on the left.
And they were flipping him yesterday, but today, yeah.
Today they were
more.
just out there on each of their own sides. Oh, and Chris Conley lined up exclusively in the slot.
Mm-hmm. And Chad Henne, the number two offense, is going against the Chiefs' number two defense right now. And Chad Henne's a serviceable guy. I just hope he doesn't have to play that much this season. Just a snap judgment call on that. Again, what, 3 days into camp, 4 days into camp? I just hope we don't have to see it for too long of a period of time. So, pouring rain here in St. Joe.
Rufus, I remember.
Yeah.
Passanio got a sack.
Oh,
that's
yes.
What it
was. Passanio with a sack. That was the last play of that drill, correct? So the defense ended on a high note. They had an interception by Steven Nelson and a sack by Tino Passanio. So good stuff from the Chiefs at number one defense. And some good stuff from the number one offense as well. But love seeing number ones against number ones because that just doesn't happen. In my opinion, it doesn't happen enough. It's like, well, let's let the number ones eat up the number twos. During that offensive drill, we saw a lot of Chris Conley. He made a couple of good catches, also had a couple of drops. I'd like to see him get those ironed out. And Chris Conley talked this weekend about many things here at Chiefs training camp, including getting Eric Berry back and getting his leadership back for the Chiefs on the field every day.
You know, it's awesome to see him out here. Injuries are things that are different for everybody. It's actually the first time today is the first time you've seen a number of guys out here for a while, and I think it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to see guys who you know are leaders on this team back in their roles, doing what they do, and really preparing for his season, you know, taking his time, getting ready to do what he does, and he has an impact for this team.
Your first time back in pads, too. I mean, how did it feel for you?
It was good. You know, I was super thankful this morning. You know, you never know how an injury is going to go or how it's going to play out. But it's a blessing to be out here, to be able to play this game again and just have another opportunity.
In the darkest times of your rehab, did you ever wonder, am I going to make it back to this point?
You know, if any thoughts ever come up, you got to make sure that you catch them right now, take captions on them, and stay positive. You know, there was always a goal in my mind to be back on this field, and the next goal was to be back on the game field. So that was always in the forefront of my mind.
Was there something? Was there a significance to the first hit today, just getting popped the first time?
Oh yeah. No, I mean it's. I think there's always a significance to the first hit, whether you're coming off an injury or it's just the beginning of the year. You kind of got to get that out of the way. You know, this is what it feels like again. And get back up to that game speed. The speed changes when you're in pads, and this is really where you got to get ready for a game because it goes up again once you get in the game.
How do you feel?
I feel good. Something that we're just taking day by day. You know, I'm still learning things from my body. It's still communicating with me. You know, when you have a surgery, things change. And so every day I'm coming out here and I'm taking inventory of the way that my legs feel and the way that I run.
You trust it? Can you cut on your knee?
I wouldn't be out here in pads running those drills if I couldn't because the bullets are flying. You know, the defense is running around, they're throwing up. But I feel good about it, and we'll just continue to move these things along.
You're talking about how he was able to kind of be a coach on the sideline last year and learn some things that he brought into this season with missing the majority of the year. Have you had any of those effects like that you saw from not playing that you've been able to bring on this season?
Yeah, your perspective is a lot different on the sideline. You can see a lot of things that you can't while you're on the field and a lot of things that you won't notice when you're in the middle of the play. So just noticing those things, being able to bring some of that experience in, and it also allows the guys on the field, they trust me. I've just been doing this for a little bit, so I can have conversations, whether it's with Tyree, whether it's with Sammy. We can communicate some of those things, some of the nuances while off field.
How'd the shoot go?
Went well. Yeah. Went really well. We wrapped on a two-day shoot. Now we're in post-production. Should be a couple months, and then we'll have something to share.
How important is it to do something like that before you go up here and you're in training camp and it's kind of football 24/7?
I think it's important. So I think everyone on this field is a multifaceted person. They have different talents. You may not know them, but I get a chance to see some of those in the locker room. And I'm really proud of guys when they share those talents, when they cultivate and develop them, because they're a whole person.
Was it important for you to do that in Kansas City as opposed to back home?
Well, yeah. You know, I feel like the people of Kansas City have been great fans. They've been great to me. And it was really an opportunity for me to see who was working in the film industry here in my city, and the people that I partnered with were awesome. The shoot went smoothly. We got a lot of great footage, and I'm just excited to showcase something, one of my passions, but really shot in Kansas City, a shot with people of Kansas City.
Chris, did that help you at all in terms of just, you know, dealing with the other stuff, like getting back physically? I mean, was it a distraction? Was it something that you needed?
I don't think something that's an investment into your future is necessarily a distraction. It didn't directly help me prepare for the football season, if that's the question you're asking.
Well, I meant more of a distraction from, you know, the questions you might have had about your health and getting back. And
not at all. No, that's priority number one. You know, this is my job at the end of the day. That's something that I want to do down the road in the future. So as long as I can give my attention when I need to football and making sure my body's in the right space and I'm ready for camp and I had some time left over, I can spend it on my budget.
It's been a few days, Chris, but Pat being quarterback now, we need you guys. Just what have you noticed, seen things that you want to necessarily work with him and get better at?
I've noticed that this guy's willing to learn. I think every day you come out here, there's something else that you can add to that list of things that we want to work on. And he's really taking that list, and you can tell that he's working on it. You know, he's completely a different quarterback now than he was on the first day. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing that he's able to take that coaching, that he wants to communicate, that he'll come over when we're not on the field and communicate with his receivers and say, hey, what are you guys seeing? This is what I'm thinking on this. And really telling us where he kind of wants to move and mold the offense. And so that's a good thing. I think it's something that will continue to develop with time. And I think that the preseason, getting in a game environment, will help too. So I'm excited to see him on a game day.
Chris, can you talk about the drill? You guys have been playing against air for most of the offseason, especially with you being hurt. To get the pads on, to have a guy in your face, one-on-one, they're yelling, your guys are yelling. What's that like out there?
It's an adrenaline rush, but it's something that helps you remember, hey, if you don't get in football position, your hips aren't low and you're not loaded, you'll get run over. And so that's a good time to learn this now rather than in a preseason game when you're on the kickoff return team and someone's coming full speed down at you. So I think it's good. It's good competition. It's always healthy out here. And our guys, you know, there's not too much ego. We can pick each other up. We can coach each other up. And we can go back and do it again.
Chris, you started the video game trend with Chiefs. And this year, Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill kind of jumped into it. Was it kind of cool to see other teammates really getting into what was your main hobby for?
You know what? I don't think I started the trend. I think I was the first to probably say something about it. Guys have been playing video games as a reprieve from football for years, longer than I've been playing. I think we're playing a little bit more as a team. It's another way for us to hang out outside of practice and away from here. But, we have a good team. We have a good locker room and guys who really like to be around each other, and it gives us an opportunity to grow up.
And then another thing is Kendall Fuller. Just what have you seen from him on the other side of it, just evaluating him?
Kendall Fuller, he's a baller, man. He's got good feet. He's got patience. He can play inside and out. I'm really excited to see him on our defense this year. He's made me better. We've had a lot of conversations coming over on the side, whether I beat him or he's beat me on a play, and we just talked it out and said, hey, this is why I did what I did. This is what I'm thinking here. And it's really, you know, he's a vet. He's a vet to the point where he knows that us having those conversations may give me more tools to beat him in practice, but it's going to make us better as a team.
Going back to the video games, who's the best Fortnite player?
Fortnite player? I think that conversation, you're going to have different answers from every guy that you ask. But honestly, I haven't played with everyone. I will say Tyreek's pretty good, but that's partly because Tyreek doesn't sleep. So he has a lot of time to play Fortnite, so he's pretty good. He's pretty good. I hear Patrick's all right, but I haven't played with Patrick directly, so we'll see.
Good analysis from Chris Conley on the best Fortnite player on the Chiefs roster. The kids will be happy to know that it's Tyreek Hill or Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if I'm happy with the fact that Tyreek Hill never sleeps, though.
He's doing all right.
I think your number one receiver's got to get some more rest.
Nah, he's fine.
I loved his comment how he only gets to play like 6 hours of Fortnite during training camp.
Oh, my gosh.
Because like only 6 hours is just such not enough time.
I'd kind of like for him to be spending 6 hours studying film. Chris Conley, though, is one of the most cerebral guys on the team, so maybe not necessarily him. But he did have a lot of really thoughtful things to say in there. That's one of the things I always enjoy most about hearing him.
I love hearing Chris Conley talk, and I like talking to him because he kind of educates you a little bit about the game because he can talk about it like a lot of coaches might talk about it. And in terms of expectations for Chris Conley on the field this year and what fans may expect or what we may expect, I'll just tell you what I expect. Chris Conley, one, is coming off a serious injury, and he talked about it right there. He said your body is different. When there's a surgery done, your body is different, and he's still learning how to communicate with his body. So he's never been a number one. He's really never been a solid number two. He's been a three or a four. And I think he knows his role with the team. He doesn't expect to knock off, you know, Tyreek Hill. He's not going to run as fast as Sammy Watkins. He knows what he is. And he doesn't – I don't think he has designs on being a superstar in the NFL. And that's fine. You don't – not everybody has to be a superstar. You got to have the guys that are okay with only seeing the ball two, three, four times a game, as long as they can hold on to it. That's my expectations. Nothing big time. Not, you know, if he has a couple of touchdowns, great. If he has 300-400 yards, great. 500 yards, great. He's not going to be 1,000. So that's my expectations. Jed, what do you think about Conley for this season?
I never thought I would utter the words that if he had Albert Wilson-like production, I'd be extremely pleased.
Yes.
The other thing about Chris Conley that you mentioned there, that he's never been a number one or even a number two, he was pushed into a number two role because of the offense. Fortunately, the Chiefs have had Travis Kelce where they haven't necessarily needed an amazing number two. You'd obviously like to have one. But to me, Chris Conley's always been very perplexing because you look at his workout numbers from the combine and he ran, you know, a 4.4 and had the huge vertical leap and everything. So he has all the gifts to be a one or a two. But I think what we heard, you know, I mean, we just heard 7.5 minutes of really intelligent, high level talking about working together and like, I don't know, using moments with Kendall Fuller to teach him how to get better. It's stuff like that I understand his intelligence and want to get better for the game, but I almost wonder because of his intelligence whether that limits his actual, you know, like drive and whatnot on the field, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I think he wants to be the best player he can be, but he's content with not being a superstar, and that's fine. You have a couple of superstars on every team, and that's about all you have.
And Chris Conley also appears to be a guy who's taking advantage of the ability to play football to use it in avenues to get further in life, because I keep going back to just hearing him speak. He's so articulate and so thoughtful in what he says that guy beyond the football field, wow, what, like that guy's gonna do a lot of things.
Well, we know he writes and directs, like, I don't know if they're full-length feature movies, but might be some shorts here and there. In fact, he did one in Kansas City this summer, and so the football career can help him advance. If he wants to get into the movie business, advance his writing and directing career, and that'll be what he does next. But for right now, make all the money you can and play football on Sundays. Not a bad way to go.
I could even see that guy hopping into an acting role. A tall, good-looking, athletic
Absolutely.
Dude. Yeah, I mean,
he'll be the guy who writes, directs, and stars in a movie.
Yeah, he probably will.
That'll be what it is. Or he'll just rotate. I'm going to write this movie. And then I'm going to go get hired to direct this other movie, and then I'm going to go star in this other movie. Just kind of rotate it around. You know how Hollywood works.
Yeah, there are only about 6 actors who do all of the stuff in Hollywood, so
that's everything.
He'll have to get a foothold in there. But
yes, absolutely. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. My name is Brad Porter. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, Metro PCS, Kansas Sampler, and Rally House. Jed Marshall is back at our Rally House studios in Kansas City. The rain is starting to lighten up a little bit here in St. Joe, but remember, the players are still on the field if you happen to be on your way up. They do not move them off the field unless there's lightning, and so far no lightning, so the players are still on the field. working out through the rain showers. We'll take a quick timeout. More Sports Sunday when we come back. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I always like a good bass line. If your song has a strong bass line like that right there, you're going places. Very overlooked. Great song. Jed Marshall is running the show back in our Rally House studios. He's picking out the music today. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in St. Joe at Chiefs Training Camp. Our coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, Metro PCS, Kansas Sampler, and Rally House. Rudy Salazar is out here with me, too. And it looks like the rain has lightened up just a little bit. There's patches of blue sky here and there, but we're hoping this rain rolls out of here in the next 10 to 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Rudy's checking his weather app. How accurate is that weather app? It's hit
accurate
miss.
Enough. Like it says they're not expecting any more rain at the moment for the rest of the day. It's pretty good at telling you what the current weather is.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
What
is it doing right now? What is it? If I walked out the front door right now, what's the weather? Okay, tell me that.
So it looks
it's Gary
like,
Lezak's number one rule.
Yeah.
Look up.
Look outside.
Yeah, look outside.
So it looks like we should be good as far as rain.
Okay.
Or at least the chances of it raining more are pretty low.
Okay. The Chiefs have broken into some smaller drills now. They're running some 7-on-7, it looks like. And it's still number one offense versus number one defense, but it's not full squad. So it's quarterback, center, backs and receivers and tight ends against some linebackers and a couple of defensive backs as well. And then the defensive and offensive linemen are lined up going head-to-head. And they're in full pads again today. They just finished up with some punt return drill work. And here's the thing. When you come to training camp, probably the least entertaining, because fans come up here to be entertained. You want to see your favorite players. You want to see Patrick Mahomes air it out. You want to see Tyreek Hill burning somebody. You want to see Travis Kelce causing havoc. But one of the things that's, I would say, is less entertaining than the rest of it is special teams drills. But it's one of those things. Special teams is like, it's like a Major League Baseball umpire. If I don't notice you, that's a good thing. If I notice you on special teams, unless you're the returner, but if I notice you and you're someone who's not the returner, that's a bad thing. And you get pointed out and you get exposed very quickly. If you're on special teams, you don't take it seriously. Some guys make a career out of special teams. Gary Stills played a long time in the National Football League being a Pro Bowl special teamer. Some guys are geared that way. Some guys are not. Some guys think it's a demotion. I guess I have to do this until I get a starting job. But it's very, very serious. And the Chiefs have one of the best special team coaches in the National Football League and probably should be a head coach somewhere. I think he's got – I think when the rumor started last year that the Bears might look at him, I think Andy Reid told him, I'll help you get another job, but you're not going to the Bears because Matt Nagy's there and – he just didn't want him joining the Bears.
Why are you trying to run Dave Tobe out of town, Brad?
I'm not. I'm just saying he's going to be a head coach someday.
Why can't he just be our special teams coach, though?
He can. I'm perfectly fine if he has the rest of his career as the special teams coach for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Isn't that everyone's aspiration, to stay right where they are?
Yes, absolutely. I don't want to get any higher in life. I don't want to make any more money. I don't want
I didn't say that.
Better car. No, but it's just one of those parts. They're done with that now. Now it's the 7-on-7s. We saw the number one offense. Now they've got the number three offense running with – it's the number four offense with Chase Litton out there getting that work done. So, Rudy, real quick, I got less than 90 seconds here. Kind of what stands out to you of the first hour and a half of practice here?
Chris Conley essentially only playing in the slot. I thought you might see it, and which you still may see. It's really early into camp. I expect, though, to see a lot more of moving around, seeing him walking sometimes in the slot, maybe sometimes Tyreek Hill, and obviously also Kendall Fuller staying exclusively in the slot and kind of those battles. Chris Conley talked about that earlier. Like, mm-hmm. Those two have been battling with each other all camp. which should only make Chris Conley better. I mean, you're going up against like one of the best slot corners in the league. If you want to know how to play slot, like, why not learn against maybe the guy who's the best at defending it?
And for Sammy Watkins, I've seen him exclusively on the outside.
They're fast.
If he's been in the slot, I haven't noticed it yet, but man, like, he's so fast.
That's the thing.
That's
the other thing. Even when they don't complete the pass, they are fast. They run.
With the injuries he's had in his career, to still be able to maintain that speed. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. Hour number two coming up next. Matt Verderam from FanSided is going to join us, talk a little Chiefs football as we continue broadcast live in St. Joe, Missouri, Chiefs training camp, brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, Metro PCS, Kansas Sampler, and Rally House. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House studios. Really, Rudy Salazar is out here. My name is Brad Porter. Hour number two coming up next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.